Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thy alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Amen. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thy alms may be in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret shall himself reward thee openly. Amen. Precious Lord, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for Jesus Christ and him dying on Calvary's cross and being resurrected from the grave. We ask that you would just use that same power to open up the scriptures to our hearts and to our minds today, that we would be all that we could be, and that all we eat, drink, and do, we would do to glorify you. Thank you in advance. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, it's so easy to boast. It's so easy to boast, and we all know boasters. We all know folks that just brag a lot. Talk about what they have and what they've done. We have religious boasters and folks that boast about their education, folks that boast about their finances, folks that boast about their being a superior race. Folks that like to talk about themselves, like to boast. You tell them you've been to Disney World, they've been there 3 times. You tell them you had this restaurant and they don't like that restaurant, it ain't good enough for them. So, you know, you have that going on, and you have it going on in God's house. And Jesus, it's interesting that he chose this topic. I thought it was interesting that he chose a topic like this. The next three weeks, he's talking about service here. Our service. I mean, we want to boast about it. We ought to boast about it. Okay? But I believe there's a righteous boasting. I think God has in mind here, there's a proper way to boast. And then even the next subject we're going to talk about is prayer. Mm-hmm. And there's a proper way to pray. You know, that don't draw attention to ourselves.
Amen.
Okay? And then he sums it up. We're going to talk about fasting, which always is interesting because a lot of folks ask me questions about fasting. We're going to spend a week talking about fasting. What's it mean to fast? Well, how should we fast? Jesus gives you the formula right here on how to fast, on how to pray, and how to show our love for the Lord. Oh, we had an interesting subject this morning in Sunday school. The woman that came into the Pharisee's home, she had an interesting way of showing her love for the Lord. I don't believe she was doing it in a way that was bringing glory to herself. She did it in a way that, what? Glorified God. All that she did glorify God. There was no mention of her trying to do anything to bring glory to herself. So Jesus is talking about how we ought to show our love for God. There's a right way and there's a wrong way. Look at verse number 1. He said, take heed. Take heed means pay attention. Okay? Pay attention. This is a serious issue, and a lot of people don't understand it. When you come to the saving knowledge of Christ, people gonna watch you. People gonna watch how you respond. They're gonna watch how you show your love for the things of God. They're gonna watch how you show your love for people. Okay? And when you boast and when you brag and when you take glory for what God has done, folks look at you. And they'll say, well, you know what? I don't want that. We got enough problems as Christians. Okay? Because Jesus then talked about hypocrites. He said, you know, don't be like the hypocrites. That's one of the That's one of the great calls on the church. When you talk to people about the church, well, I don't want to go to that church because it's full of hypocrites. Hypocrites. And I believe a hypocrite is one who will tell you not to do something they do on themselves. You know, when you think of hypocrites, you know, our mind goes to Jimmy Swagger. He's on TV, he's blasting folks and telling them they ought to not be doing this and not doing that. And one of the first people he was blasting, someone, this was before social media. Somebody called him and said, called Jimmy Swagger's enemy and said, hey, look, I think I've seen Jimmy Swagger down in the red district. In the red light district, that's what it's called. Okay. So they started following Jimmy Swagger and video and taping him. And they found him frequenting places of prostitution. And he had a $150 million ministry at that time, which was phenomenal. We think about hypocrites. We don't want to be one. We think about Bill Clinton when he was having his affair with Monica Lewinsky and he was supposedly hurting all about it. So they called in the Reverend. They called in the Reverend Jesse Jackson to counsel him. And it's a true story. And Reverend Jackson came, and one of his aides, his secretary, came with him, and she was pregnant. And then it came out that it was Jesse Jackson at the time that he was counseling Bill Clinton had a woman pregnant himself that wasn't his wife. So, hypocrites. We don't want to be hypocrites. We don't want to be hypocrites. We want to give God the glory. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "In all you eat, drink, and do to the glory of God." We ought to be God glorifying people. Okay? And this is what Jesus is saying, and Jesus has a right to demand our glory. He has the right to demand our glory. I don't have a right. I don't have a right to demand you guys glorify me or do anything for me. Okay? God has the right to demand our glory. Okay? He has that right. So when we look at our text today, we see that. And somebody might say, well, you know, Pastor, it don't seem like it wasn't too long ago you were saying that we ought to let our light shine. Matthew 5:16 says we ought to let our light shine. Matthew 5:16 reads like this. Let your light so shine before men. Okay? That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Wait a minute. Amen. What are you saying now? In 6:1 you're saying, take heed that you do not your alms before men. Wait, what's the problem here? What's the difference here? There's a difference. There's a difference. And the difference is in chapter 6, verse 1, we're doing them to give ourselves glory. We're in a bragging, boasting way. In verse 16 of Matthew 5, says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. Oh, listen, let me tell you something. Some of us be some glory seekers. And we want that glory. Listen, Peter knew. Peter watched and learned. One of the disciples, he watched and learned. You know what Peter knew? And Jesus taught him one day. Everybody that's watching Minister Bryant, everybody that's watching me, everybody that's watching Minister Madison and Deacon Elmer and Jeremy and Deacon Oliver, one day, God's going to pay them a visit. Okay? And the people who love you and know you, and when God pays them a visit, they will think about you. Because a lot, we talk about it all the time. We are what? Epistles. Living epistles to be what? Read by men. So when God pays that loved one, that friend, that co-worker, that classmate a visit. Okay? And when they say, well, you need the Lord in your life. And they're going to think about the first person that comes to their mind is going to be that person that's closest to them that claim to be a Christian. Listen how Peter wrote. Peter wrote this in 1 Peter 2 and 12. Peter wrote this. I thought this was interesting. He said, "Dearly beloved, he said, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul." You know what one of the fleshly lusts that war against our soul is? Pride. Okay? Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. That pride of life wars against our soul. We just want to be better. We want to brag and boast. This is what Peter says. It's war against our soul. Verse 12. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. Or honest among the folks that don't believe. Okay? Honest. Meaning righteous, pure, holy. We talk about all the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those that mourn. Blessed are those that are pure in heart. Blessed are the merciful. All that they need to see. We need to be living this thing out. Peter was saying this. Having your conversation, your behavior, your lifestyle honest among the Gentiles. Oh, I know y'all want it honest among me. Oh my goodness. Social media was to post my picture on there at a place where I shouldn't be doing something I shouldn't be doing. Y'all have a right. Give me an answer. What's going on? Why is your conversation not honest among the Gentiles, Pastor? Why ain't yours? You got the same Holy Ghost I got. You just as saved as I am. I'm just called. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. Let's get to what Peter's talking about. That whereas they speak against you as evildoers. And you'll get that. You getting some of that? Anybody else? Anybody get some bad language thrown their way because you decided to follow Christ? We talked about it this morning. We talked about it this morning in Sunday school. We talked about it. You talking about the prodigal son, the woman with the issue of blood, Jairus, everybody that came to the Lord, blind Bartimaeus, they took some flack. They took some hate. The moment you say, I'm walking away from this mess, this lifestyle, these folks, you're going to take some heat. It takes courage. And Rita said it this morning. It takes courage to live for Christ.
Amen.
It takes courage. Watch this. When they speak against you as evildoers, that they may what? By your good works, which they shall behold. That makes me think. No, that's the question. What are people beholding when they see us? What are they beholding when they see us? When we going through, what are people beholding? Because they, when they going through, they know they don't have what we have. At least we say we got this Holy Ghost. What are they beholding from the believer? Watch this. Let me read this whole thing, all verse 12 in one piece, because it's interesting. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. That's interesting. You're going to get a visit. All of us in here are going to get a visit. How you going to hold up? Think about this. Take heed that you do not your arms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. You know what Jesus is saying about these folks? You're going to get your reward right down here. The folks that want that, they want that attention, they want all the love of the world, they want everything. And God, well, you know what God will do? He'll give it to you. Right here. You'll get it right here. You will be able to really live your best life now.
Amen.
Now, I don't know about anybody else. It ain't real good down here right now. Okay? There ain't nobody living their best life now unless you're an undertaker. Okay? The undertaker's living good. I just sit here and watch the news. I watch the news. Them folks in Texas going to bury their little freshman daughter. And some of us can relate to this. Okay? I think about this stuff because I know some of y'all got kids in college. And I think about the phone call that family must have got. How they must have felt when they found out their little 17, 18, 19-year-old daughter was just brutally murdered. Okay? There was a shooting at an Air Force base in Texas. And I'm like, Air Force, Navy, Air Force. Okay. Okay? So I'm thinking of this kind of stuff all the time. Then I turn on the news. There's in the Navy. Mm-hmm. The kid fell off the boat in a Navy drill. Fell off the boat. That's a day of visitation.
Amen.
And again, we are living epistles, seeing of men. I have my Aquan. He got the phone. He got a friend in Florida. Got a tumor, sort of like Dave. Got a tumor. Young girl got a tumor in the stomach. He said, Mr. Neal, can you pray for her? Can she in the hospital? She can have surgery that day. Can you pray for her? Yes. I'll pray for her. Amen. But you know what I say? I say, Daquan, you know you need to learn how to pray. Amen. You young people need to learn how to pray.
Amen.
You know, now. Caleb, when you do your youth day, you ought to have a young person up here praying. And I don't mean reading off paper. Just praying from your heart, praying from your soul, praying from your spirit. Somebody, is there a young person here can pray?
Uh-huh. Amen.
Is there somebody in here that's able to stand flat footed and just thank God?
Amen.
I mean, if we was a Jewish young men knew how to pray at the time they were 13.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, our young people, is there a young person here that can stand up here and pray? Be here next week because Jesus is going to teach us how to pray.
Amen.
Teach us how to pray. Now, what these Pharisees was doing, interesting. See, there's nothing in the Bible about what we do. We may be closer than most churches just by having folks stand here and hold the offering plates. Okay? Biblical times, they had receptacles at the door. So when you walk in the door, you gave your offering. There was no formal time in the program, or what do you call it, program bulletin, whatever it is, where we had an offering time. You came through the door, you gave your offering. Okay? There's nothing in about sticking a plate in folks' face. You know, doing this. Okay? Y'all know I'm almost anti-offering. You know, I'm glad I don't have no kind of trustees. You know, I go say that at some church, they pull me out of the pulpit. You know? Boy, we all about offering here. That's all you hired for. To raise money. Most pastors are fundraisers. They ask you, you know, can you raise money? But what they would do in that day, they would have receptacles, big receptacles, like funnels. You ever go to Pittsburgh Highway? Turnpike? You throw your money in, and it just spin around. So what the Pharisees would do, seriously, what the Pharisees would do, they would take all their soft money, all their paper money, and turn it into coins. Change it into coins. And so when they came in, you know, they would sound the trumpet.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And then they start throwing this money in, hard as they could, making all this noise, everybody looking up at them like, whoa, look how much they're giving. They really wasn't giving a whole lot. Okay? They were just making a whole lot of noise. Somebody said, talking loud and saying nothing. Okay? But that's what they would do. And Jesus was looking at them. And he was like, what's wrong with this picture? He's talking, and this is the Sermon on the Mount. This is the greatest sermon ever preached. And he's condemning them. What is wrong with you guys? Okay? Because they really trying to, they're doing this in a way to make everybody else feel bad. They have been little folks because they had just a little bit more. We have to be careful.
Amen.
We have to be careful how we show our love for the Lord. You know, I've been to churches and every pew got a name on it. You know, every pew got a name on it. Everything this person in church got somebody's name on it. Windows, everything. Yep. Yeah, I've been to churches. Y'all know I've been around. Sitting, I was at a church and they had like a light tower with lights in it, and it was offering time, and they would say, all the tithers, put them tithes up in the air. Put them tithes up in the air. You know? And the tithers, you come up and get your offering, all the tithers would come up, put their money in there, and you know, they walk around like peacocks back to their seats. And then when they all sat down, then the pastor would say, now the rest of you guys come. And I'm sitting here like, what is this? What is this? They, you know what they're doing? What are they doing? Showboating. Folks, listen. Jesus says this. I thought this was interesting. I get stuck on words. Verse number 2, he said, therefore, when you do your thy alms, and we should. He said, when you do them, you ought to do good things. Good deeds and good works. You ought to. It ought to be part of who you are. Okay? When God saved you, you say you're filled with the Spirit of God, you ought to have a loving heart, a giving heart, a caring heart. You know, it comes, it's a package deal. Okay? Always say, when you get saved, you get a desire for prayer, a desire for Bible study, a desire for fellowship, a love for your pastor. All that comes in the deal. Okay? It just comes with the package. Now, if you're missing some of that, then you need to ask God, listen, you shorted me. Okay? I know I'm saved, but I don't have no desire for the things of God in prayer. Or I don't love my pastor. You know, well, God, give me the power to love my pastor. I know that can be difficult. Okay? But I'm probably on the bottom of that list. Give me the love for the things of God and the people of God. Take away this pride out of my heart. Take away lust out of my heart. Take away envy and jealousy out of my heart. All that. I can love you properly. But in verse 2, I thought this was interesting. I just talking about this trumpet thing. He said, therefore, when thou doest thy alms, do not. That's a command. Do not sound a trumpet before thee. Why is God saying that? Why is he using that type of language? You have to ask yourself these questions. I always say this when you study, when you read the Bible and you read something. Why is he saying that? That trumpet is interesting. Okay? I thought about it. A trumpet is an instrument that's designed to make a clear call. It's an instrument that you understand clearly what's happening when the trumpet is sounded. Okay? Now, I thought about this. Psalms 150. Y'all know this psalm. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in the sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. But then it says this. Praise him with the sound of a trumpet. What's he talking about? He's saying, praise him. In a clear way where folks have a good understanding of why you're praising him. So we get up here and just say words and just sing and we run around in circles. We just saying words and we're not living them.
Amen.
Okay, I talked to Cindy Bryant and Claire. Make sure these folks know what they're singing.
Uh-huh. Amen.
Okay? Because he said, praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise them with the psaltery and harp. These were instruments that gave a clear musical rendition, I guess. I don't know if I got that right, Ray. You're the music guy. Yeah. Let me take a little further. Because what these folks were doing, they were sounding the trumpet, but they were fake. They weren't real. We got on this subject a couple Wednesdays ago. I'm up here, guy. Y'all can't answer all these questions, so I can just hit it. Okay. 1 Corinthians 14. Oh, as soon as I go to 1 Corinthians 14. Oh.
Uh-oh.
Listen. Watch this now. This is interesting. He says this in 1 Corinthians 14. Look at verse 6. He said, now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, What should I profit you except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophecy or by doctrine? What are you saying? If I come to you in a way where you don't understand me, I'm making no sense. I am a useless proclaimer of the gospel.
Amen.
Look at verse 7. And even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in sounds.
Amen.
How shall it be know what is pipe or harp? Now here goes, here's a trumpet word again. Now watch this now. The trumpet was a battle instrument. Okay? When the trumpet sound, folk knew what was happening. Folk knew what to do. They knew to get ready. Arm up. Okay? Okay? Why folks want to buy all these guns now? They know the trumpet gonna sound.
Amen.
For if the trumpet, okay? Now, and in the sentence, I'm the trumpet. Now, if I'm up here speaking in a language you don't understand, how y'all gonna get ready for battle?
Amen.
My job here is to get y'all ready for warfare.
Amen.
I mean, listen, let me tell y'all something. Somebody going to war tomorrow. You may not know it, but an enemy got their eye on you. It might be him, it might be me. Mr. Dunleavy and Jake, we all going out there. Columbus, Sharon, all of us. Rita, going to battle tomorrow. You don't want that doctor telling you some mumbo jumbo?
Amen.
You don't want me coming up to tomorrow before you go in there talking about good luck. Good luck. Hope it all work out for you, Rita. Look at verse 8. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? That's interesting. You want to make sure you understand the preaching of the gospel.
Amen.
It's important. It's important because if you don't understand it now, you ain't going to understand it later.
Uh-huh.
Come on now. Let me make it clear. Amen. Let me make it clear. 1 Corinthians 15. See, if you don't hear a clear trumpet now, you ain't going to know when the real trumpet blows.
Uh-huh.
Let me say that again. If you don't hear the clear clarity of the Word of God trump to you now, when the trump sounds, you won't raise.
Uh-huh.
Listen. 1 Corinthians 15, 52. He said, in a moment, and in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed.
Amen.
Okay? Everybody gonna hear the trumpet. Okay? Everybody not hearing the trumpet, Jay.
I know it.
So I'm gonna sleep right through it.
Amen.
Oh, I'm a deep sleeper. Yeah. You better get some understanding now.
Amen.
Because if you don't hear this trumpet, it won't be because you a deep sleeper.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be because you a hellbound sinner.
Amen.
You need to make sure you hear this one. See, listen. Here's John. Now all the disciples got killed. Okay? Save John. Now it wasn't because they weren't trying to kill John. Historians say they put John in a pit of oil. And he came up out of oil, and the emperor, Domitian, I believe his name was, said, whoa, take him to the island of Patmos. So they took John the Baptist, John the Apostle John, to the island of Patmos. Now the island of Patmos was full of barbarians, and they put him there to die. Either he was going to starve to death, or he was going to be killed by the barbarians. He having some rough times. Okay? Now here's John in Revelation 1 and 10. Because he knew the voice of the Lord. And the question I have to ask you, and the reason why I do this, is it is important that you know the voice of the Lord. There's a lot of voices out there. There's a lot of voices out there. You have to know the voice of the Lord. This is why I read and study and try to teach and bring in books and
Bibles and all this stuff we do. Because I want you to know the voice of the Lord, because the voice of the Lord is going to call you one day. And you got to know His voice. All I do is say, Ray, He knows my voice. When I come in the house, He knows when I'm home. Because He knows my voice. Listen. John in that precarious situation. See, some of us right now, we in a precarious situation. Okay? We really know that if we were to die today, we're not going to hear the voice. We're not going to hear the trumpet. See, it's important that we understand where we at. Because until you realize I'm a sinner, you can't be saved. See, you heard how to understand. Look, I'm a sinner. You have to acknowledge that I'm a sinner before you can be saved. You got to get lost first. Now, people. Look at Revelation 1. Here's John in trouble. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I like that. No matter what was going on in John's life, on the Lord's day, he was in the Spirit. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now, I say that. How did you get in the Spirit on the Lord's day? Well, you got to stay in the Spirit.
Amen.
See? Some of them ain't receiving nothing from me right now because they weren't in the Spirit, not in the Spirit. It's hard to hear Spirit preaching if you're not in the Spirit.
Amen.
Okay, so if you build your mind up with, you know, soap operas and Maury Povich and all that, there's no way you can come to God's house on Sunday and be in the Spirit.
Amen.
If you haven't been in the Spirit all week.
Uh-huh.
How does this man get on my nerves? John saying, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard, here's our word, and heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet. Now he had to be behind John because John would have been in the Spirit on the Lord. He'd been facing east. So he wouldn't have heard that voice because the Lord would have been facing east too. So he had to have been behind him. And he said, I heard behind me a great voice. You know when the Lord called you? When the Lord called you, it's a great voice. Think about when you got called. Folks in here are saved. Think about when God called you. Wasn't that a great voice? That was a great voice. Call me out of the muck and mire. Call me out of darkness into His marvelous light. Call me out of my mess. And I wouldn't call myself. And I heard Him. And it was a great voice as a trumpet. As a trumpet. Listen, folks. Get back to this story. Don't do your arms before men and sound a trumpet for yourself. Don't blow your own horn. We got a lot of saved folks that like to blow their own horn. Listen to this story. Hope this ain't familiar with anybody. Here's a picture of a man blowing his own horn. Luke 18, we know the story. Y'all know it. I've preached it, I think, a couple times. We've gone through it on Sunday school. Luke 18 and verse number 9. And he spake a parable unto certain which trusted in themselves. See, the person that's blowing their own horn, don't trust in God. Trust in themselves. Listen to what it says. And they that were righteous, and they despised others. You know, we've been talking about this whole thing, this whole LGB, anti-LGB stuff going on all over the country, all these states. Let me tell you something. We don't have a right to not love anybody. We live in a epistle. We want to love them. Love them. That's all we can do is love them. Because we were just as messed up, if we want to call it that. We were just as messed up. We was out there fornicating, committing adultery, drinking, lying, stealing, and somebody showed us some love. Somebody prayed for us. Somebody prayed for us. Said, you know what? I'll pray for him. Because he lost. I'm so glad somebody prayed for me.
Amen.
I'm so glad somebody prayed for me. We have to be careful with that kind of stuff.
Here's this man here, looking down on folks. He's looking down on folks. He's looking down on folks. He says, two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other, a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adultery, or even as this publican. Don't sound like what we're going through today. I fast, excuse me, and the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all I possess. And the publican, I always say when we read a story like this, you one or the other. You either the Pharisee or you the publican. Okay? And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, every sinner has to say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, if you saved in here today, there's a time when you have to say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Amen.
A sinner. That's what the thief on the cross was saying. So when I hear people say, well, you know, the thief on the cross didn't do anything and God saved him. No, the thief on the cross said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The thief said, God, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And look what Jesus answered. He said, I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. That's important. That you hear God's word and then you have the power. That's God. God, how do I get saved? We talked about this morning. God, how do I get saved? I want to get saved. I want to be better. I want to get out of this mess I'm in. How do I do it? Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved. The only way you're going to be saved is by grace. For by grace are you saved. How? Through faith.
Amen.
And not of yourself. It's the gift of God. Not of yourself. It's the gift of God. Now I need this gift, Pastor. How do I get it? You get down on your knees and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and give me the faith that I need to get saved, to get right with you. It's not that hard. It's not that hard. David knew. David knew. And when I talk about sermons like this, David knew. David was a sinner. David cried out to God, God created me a clean heart. Restore me a right spirit. And then when David, in his wilderness journey, when he was out there in trouble, this is what he said in Psalm 27. He said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring. Listen, folks. Know what he's saying? Know what I hear? Today, if you what? Hear my voice, harden not your heart. Tomorrow ain't guaranteed. Okay? Talk to the two folks up in Liberty, in that little apartment up in Liberty, behind Bond and Jeremy house.
Amen.
That's right in the neighborhood.
Amen.
Talk to the young brother. I talk about it all the time. Talk to the sister down in Texas. The tragedy ain't so much that she dead. The real tragedy would have been if she died without Jesus.
Amen. That's right.
Without Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
David, Psalm 34 and 2, like this one. He said, my soul. You want to boast in something?
Go ahead, take this.
He said, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Death ought not fear us. You know, I'm working in the penitentiary, and I hear the brothers. They get on me sometimes. And when I get out, I'll make you wet. That means they're gonna shoot me. You know. And I say, you gonna threaten me with heaven? You gonna threaten me with heaven? And they laugh. They don't mean it. But that, you know,
is what we try to do. We try to build a defense system in you. Because death's coming. This brother always talks about death. You know, y'all bring me to this church and y'all pass every time I come here, he's talking about death, Margaret. Because you're going to die. That's my job. You know what? People dying every day on my job. Every day on my job. And they put past the cars around. And some of the crazy stuff they put on the cars. They don't have no idea what to say. Okay? They have no idea what to say. Because they don't know where their loved one is at. They're not saved, so they can't say, you know what? God's grace is sufficient. That's not even in their vocabulary. So they don't know what to say. Good luck with the service. Listen, I ain't gonna be long today. But when thou doest thy alms, let not the left hand know what the right hand doeth. What Jesus said? Don't boast. Don't brag. You ain't doing nothing. Okay? You ain't doing nothing. It's all about God. Y'all remember the story? I think I told this not too long ago. It's a great story about a person who did great works. And I don't think when she was doing these great works, she was boasting about it. It was just something she did. You know, for the true believer, good works just come naturally. It just come naturally. I sit here and watch some of you guys work around the church. I don't think I need to go around patting anybody on the back. That a boy, you're doing good. And, you know, giving them plaques. This is Minister Bryant Day and, you know, and all that stuff. You know? It's just what you do. It's what you do. When the Word of God says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. All things that become new. You just do stuff. You just do stuff. I don't know who the biggest giver in the church is. You know, I don't sit here and say, well, you know, Debbie, at the end of the year, I want give me a list of the top 10 givers. I don't do that. I don't know who gives what. Okay? I don't know who gives what. I just don't. I don't put my envelope in there upside so everybody can see, he's giving good. I don't do that. Okay? Listen, here's Dorcas. Here's that great story of this woman in Joppa. Says, now there was in Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and all deeds which she did. Don't sound like she boasted and bragged about it. This is what she did. Amen. It was just in her to do it because this comes with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died. How about that? Full of good works and dying. Whom when they washed her, they laid her up in the upper chamber. Okay? I just thought on this because Jill was wondering what that meant. They laid her up in the upper chamber to keep her warm. For as much as Lydia was not in Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, and they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Now, y'all remember I talked about it. In the Jewish custom, they figured, well, you know, you got up for 3 days. Then the Spirit leave out your body on the fourth day. Okay? Now, Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him to the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him, weeping and showing the coat and garment which Dorcas made while she was with them. Now, what's the point? What's the point? This woman was full of good works. And you know what? When those people were weeping and showing the coat and the garment, this is a really symbolic language of all the good that she had done. Okay? All the good that she had done. And that's how it ought to be when a man or woman of God passed away. There ought to be a empty spot in the house of God. It is. We talk about it. Mother Allen and Deacon. We just talk about it. Because they left a void. Because they had an impact on what you guys done. I wasn't here any longer than that. Okay? But I just pray, you know, there was a question out, what kind of church would it be if everybody was like you? What would the church be if everybody was like you? Think about that. saved man or woman, what would the church be like if everybody was like me? Whew. Somebody saying, I think about that. What would it be like? Quiet. Verse 4, last verse, I'm going to close. Jesus is teaching. He said that the alms may be in secret, and the Father which is in secret shall reward thee. How? Openly. Openly. Now, here's a great story. Here's what it looks like. Jesus talked about it. He talks about the description of the last day. He talked about it in Matthew 25. I'm just going to read it because it's sort of self-explanatory. These folks are doing good works. These folks were doing good works. They was doing what they was called to do. They wasn't being paid. They was volunteers. They wasn't being paid. They was just doing the will of God. That's all they was doing. And they wasn't looking for no data boys. They wasn't looking for no pat on the back. They wasn't looking for no plaques. They wasn't looking for anything. They really didn't even know they was doing it because it became second nature to them.
Amen.
Okay? Jesus said this, and when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. Matthew 25:31. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. Uh-oh. Now you got to ask yourself, what do you mean, pastor, sheep and goats? Sheep were sacrificial animals. Sheep represent saved folks. Goats represent unsaved folks. The right represents the goodness of God. The left represents the evil of God. There was a thief on the left and a thief on the right. The one on the right went to heaven. Verse 33. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand. Mm-hmm. Nice size sheep. Be like Eli. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Why? That's the question they probably was asking. Because they was just so engrossed in what they was doing. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him. Those on the right saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee to drink? When saw we stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? Listen to this answer. It's a great answer. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of my brethren, you have done it unto me. Isn't that great? That's a wonderful story. That's a story of folks that's doing good works. Because we ought to be full, like Dorcas, full of good works. Listen, one verse and I'll close. Here's Paul. Here's Paul, that humble servant of God. 1 Corinthians 15:10. Paul says this. And Paul had a lot to boast about. Paul had a lot to boast about. Y'all know we studied Paul a lot. And Paul, there ain't a boasting bone in Paul's body. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 15:10. He says this. But by the grace of God. Any of you in here want to ever have anything to boast about? You're going to boast in God. Paul says this. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain.
but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet, not I. Yet, not I, but the grace of God which was with me. So we know why Paul can say, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Amen. Amen. Precious.